And joining us now, former NFL quarterbacking great and an analyst for NFL Network, Joe Theismann. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Vic. Always good to catch up with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of topics to talk about around the league, Joe. I wanted to start in Denver with Tim Tebow, and he's a figure that no one's neutral about this guy, and now that he has his chance to be the starter for this Broncos team, people maybe are still questioning what he's all about as a passer, even though as a player, he did his part to help them beat Miami.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think Tim is a somewhat of a polarizing individual. Love his enthusiasm, love the energy with which he plays the game. Undeniably a terrific runner at the quarterback position. But like everyone else, I still have my questions when it comes to throwing the football. If you look at the last two games that he's played in, the last 5 minutes or so of those games, he's been exciting, just incredibly exciting. But yet, the first 55 minutes, he missed a lot of receivers. He threw the ball places where you don't expect a professional quarterback to throw the football. So I still think the final verdict is out on Tim, but he has certainly brought a degree of energy and excitement to the Denver Broncos. I still feel that for the Broncos to be successful, he's going to have to throw the football more effectively.
Joe, is that something a quarterback, in looking at it from your quarterbacking perspective, can truly develop in the NFL? Is that one of those things? I sometimes think it's something you have or you don't have.
Well, I think you can develop it. A lot of it goes into footwork. He's a long strider. I mean, he certainly needs work. And I know he worked hard in the offseason with a very close friend of mine who actually coached in Cleveland, Mark Trestman. Mm-hmm. You know, Mark worked with him, and they tried to shorten his stride a little bit. I think that would help him. But, you know, Bernie Kosar had a very unique delivery. Arnold Palmer had a very unique swing. Lee Trevino, Jim Furyk. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters, can you be effective in getting the ball where it's supposed to be? And that's where Tim struggles. Man, he can throw it any way he wants, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But the thing is can you complete it? And that's something I think it can be learned, it can be taught, but it's hard to do it through the course of a year or so.
There's a question that could have been asked yesterday. What if an NFL player held a workout and nobody came? And that would have been the case with Terrell Owens. He has a workout in Southern California yesterday, and people were there, but none of them represented NFL teams. What was your reaction to that?
Now, what happens when a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it? Does it make a noise?
Right.
I think that the message came out loud and clear to T.O., is that you're old. You're not something that we want to add to our football team, because if we add you to our football team, it isn't the player that concerns them as much as the circus that goes with them. And I think that he has created this aura or stigma about him that coaches in the NFL are moving on to younger receivers, to guys that they feel like they can develop, as opposed to one that can maybe just come in and play a very limited role for them. But it has to be a shot not only to Tim, to T.O.'s ego, but Drew Rosenhaus, who is the orchestrator of so many circuses in the National Football League. You know, this one here, nobody attended the big top. And you got the elephants running around and the lions roaring and nobody's sitting around watching them work. I can't wait to hear Drew Rosenhaus' explanation. Maybe they were all on the same plane and it got diverted to another airport or something. I guess that's the only thing I can really think of.
I like it.
But it's, you know, I mean, it's I was surprised that not one soul showed up. But again, that's, you know, I think T.O., part of the circus is part of it, and part of the fact that maybe people just don't feel like they want him on his football team.
Right, and I guess for Drew's part and T.O.'s part, just staging the show, knowing there would be cameras there, and certainly NFL Network was there, that's how I watched the entire thing. And I know it's not the same. If you're a scout and you're serious about taking a look at a player, you're not just relying on some television coverage of it. You want to see it in person. But so I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't necessarily preclude somebody from still having interest, but it's got to make a statement that, as you said, he's a guy that maybe just the NFL isn't ready to take back.
Well, now what you have to do is you have to do it the old-fashioned way. You have to call up the general managers. You have to call up personnel individuals and say, look, I'd like, you know, do you need a receiver? You take a look at the teams that are short on receivers. You call them up and say, would you like to have T.O. come and work out for you personally? That's the next step. If he's really serious about playing football, maybe he just, you know, I mean, they probably could have used this particular workout just to show that he's recovered from some of the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And then going forward, I mean, that's the way I would spin it. And if I was Drew, I'd say, well, you know, we didn't expect a whole lot of people. Of course, it's disappointing that no one showed up. But what we managed to do here was show that T.O. is healthy. He's able to run. He's able to do certain things. And now we'll be contacting teams individually and see if they're interested. I mean, that would be the most logical explanation, most plausible way to do this.
Joe Theismann from NFL Network, former NFL quarterbacking great, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Joe, there's been a trend about players calling out coaches, and in very recent, in a matter of days, I guess, but we can start with the Baltimore Ravens with Terrell Suggs after their loss against Jacksonville. Terrell Suggs, their outstanding linebacker, basically saying the offensive coaches blew it with their handling of Ray Rice or mishandling of Ray Rice, not giving him enough touches or getting him involved enough, but generally saying that they didn't do enough to help the cause on another great game by the Raven defense. We've heard Jeff Saturday, the veteran great center for the Colts, saying that the Colts were out-coached. I guess they were outdone in every possible way in that lopsided loss to New Orleans, but he said coaching was part of that and was public about that from the Monday night game. And then the Miami Dolphins, in their loss to Denver, and basically Dolphin defenders who weren't on the field at the time of Tebow's winning run, and you know, questioning, again, coaching decision on that as well. What's your takeaway from all of that?
Well, I think, you know, we've reached a point in society where players are a lot more vocal than they've been before. And, I mean, first of all, as far as Terrell Suggs goes, I didn't know when he became an offensive coach. I must have missed that in his resume. I thought T. Sizzle was a defensive end linebacker, and I didn't realize he was responsible for offensive substitutions when it came to personnel matters. I guess I'm so glad you brought this to my attention, Vic, because I didn't realize he had received that new title in Baltimore. And my congratulations to him.
Yeah.
The next thing I can say to him is, if you want to make personnel decisions, get your rear end in there and spend 20 hours preparing like the coaches do,
right,
instead of making observations. I mean, yeah, the defense of the Baltimore Ravens played very well. Their offense wasn't very good, but it has to do with player execution as well. I watched that game. They didn't have one receiver that could get away from any of the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive backs.
Hmm.
It didn't have a whole lot to do with Ray Rice. It had a whole lot to do with the entire offense of that football team.
Right.
And Joe Flacco holds the ball too long.
Hmm.
Joe's got to get the ball out of his hands. Hmm. I mean, he stands in that pocket like it's a statue, and you have to be able to get the ball out of your hand. As far as Miami goes, there were guys that had chances to make plays on Tim Tebow at the end of that game, and they couldn't get him down. And it's always easy to blame somebody else.
Right.
It's always easy to point a finger at someone else. And, you know, I get tired of listening to players call out coaches and say, we should have done this, we should have done that. You don't think the coach at the end of the game says, I should have made a different decision?
Right.
You know, I should have gone this way. The Miami Dolphins, as a football team, have to accept responsibility that they blew it, just flat blew it, against Denver. That is a game they should have never, ever, ever lost. And, you've got Braylon Edwards putting the ball on the ground all the time.
Hmm.
You know, I didn't hear one of the players say, gee, if Braylon doesn't drop all these balls, maybe we can win football games.
Right.
You know, they want to call out coaches, but I don't see too many of them calling out one another.
No,
and it's a part of a team. So anyway, it's the bad teams want to blame people. The good teams are very quiet.
Yeah, generally, then that's why.
Oh, and as far as Jeff Saturday goes, Vic,
yeah,
let me tell you, they were out coached. They were out played. Drew Brees was 31 for 35 in that game. So, and I know Jeff's the center, but I don't even know if anybody showed up on the defensive side for the Colts. And there are guys out on the field that couldn't stop Drew Brees and that machine.
Right.
And I don't know too many teams that are going to be able to do it. So I think it's time for players just to shut up and go play football.
Interesting game coming up in San Francisco. Very interesting, of course, to us here in Cleveland because the Browns are taking on the 49ers. But interesting because the Niners, a 5-1 team under first-year coach Jim Harbaugh, just trying to figure out what they're all about. Alex Smith playing pretty well, I guess efficient is the best word to say about him. And the Browns, for their part, 3-3, coming off an offensive, a very unattractive, if that's the nicest way I could put it, offensive showing against Seattle, but defensively playing extremely well. But Colt McCoy, a young guy, now six games into his first full year as a starter, going up against Alex Smith in San Francisco. What are your thoughts on that, Joe?
Well, I think they're asking Colt to throw the ball way too much in Cleveland. Their offense, you know, it's not as balanced as I think it needs to be, and maybe Peyton Hillis being out. I hope he's recovered from that strep throat, though. That's the only thing I can think. I don't know, maybe he has to check with his agent to make sure he's okay. I think that's something that really, you know, you got to be careful of. But I know he's injured a little bit, and he has a hamstring. And there are certain guys that you have to count on your football team to be able to help you win. A guy that's as valuable as he is and as good a football player as he is, you know, without him in the lineup, it changes the things that you need to do. I still think, when you look at Cleveland, they're challenged at the wide receiver position. I mean, they lack the stud, so to speak, in that area. You know, Josh Cribbs gives you certain elements of the game, but not the total package, and that's a problem, I think, a little bit. But offensively, I feel like they put the ball in the air an awful lot, and you're asking your defense to do an awful lot. And you know, score 6 points and win a game, that doesn't happen very often in National Football League anymore. And I think the San Francisco, going to San Francisco, traveling out there, playing them as well as they're playing, their offensive and defensive lines are really, really good. And it's going to be a great challenge for the Browns' offensive and defensive lines to be able to contain them. And I feel like what Jim Harbaugh has done is he put a lot of faith in Alex Smith right in the beginning. There wasn't any question who was going to be his quarterback. And in doing so, he created an opportunity, a confidence on this football team, and they've just gotten better and better and better. Vernon Davis is a beast. Now, Michael Crabtree has grown out of the immature part of the game and now become a solid wide receiver for him. And Patrick Willis, look around the league. Is there a better middle linebacker in football today? I don't think so.
No.
So they've got stars in the right positions. They're coming off a bye. They're healthy. And they're two lines, which to me is the key in football, is to have offensive and defensive lines that can play, and then you can work around that. They've got it all going for them.
Great stuff, Joe. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Vic, it's always good to catch up with you. Thanks.
All right. That is Joe Theismann from NFL Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.